Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I'm your host, the Real Gerald Quinn, on this 12th of October 2021, episode 787. We are, of course, joined by one Robert Sapp to discuss the latest weekend of NFL football, a week five, and just, you know, it's incredible how fast the season starts, how fast the season's moving. Like, before you know it, it'll be Thanksgiving. Mr. Sapp, how are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing wonderful. How are you doing, sir?
I'm sure you are. I'm doing fine. Big weekend for Robert Sapp. As far as his sports team goes, it was a major. He was the winner. We'll go through our winners or who won the week. I can make a case for Robert Sapp winning the week. I really could.
I did.
You did. He won.
I can't lie.
It was a big weekend for Mr. Sapp and his team. We'll get right to it. Normally we start with who won the week at the end, but listen, there's no question what team or what just group of players won the week, and that is Mr. Sapp's Buffalo Bills. I was on my work today, and I actually saw someone with a Bills hat, which is something you do not see
often. Not the Wilbur.
Yeah. That Bills Mafia is coming out.
Wow. You've been in hibernation. Yes, we have. It's been a long time.
So, the Bills did everything that we said that they needed to do in their victory over the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, I have my thoughts, but they are your team. Give me your thoughts on this just tremendous victory. It got to be one of the best regular season victories you've had in a long time.
I was actually going to pass the mic back to you just because it makes me very happy to hear other people talk about the Bills. But that last question is at biggest regular season win in a long time. That's a great question that I had not thought about at all. When I think about victories, this is so over a regular season game. It doesn't make sense. And it's probably on the equal level of that first Colts win from last year in the playoffs. That's probably where I would put this one in terms of I was equal parts nervous for both of these games, but needed to see it happen in order to move forward in my fandom and my belief in the team. Both of those are absolute prove it games, but prove it games of the highest order. I can't put it with any of the Super Bowls, of course, not in any of the high value playoff games. But in terms of regular season, this leapfrogs every single one of them.
Yeah, there's no question about it. I was thoroughly impressed, to say the least, with the performance, physicality that your defensive line just dominated the game. The game plan itself, the overall coaching, as far as, you go into halftime with the lead, you're in control of the game. You could have been up by more, but you're still in control of the game. And then you have the weather delay for well over an hour.
That terrified me.
And I'm sure it did. Especially on the road, you're in a minuscule locker room, visitors' locker room, that is, to say at least. A couple of the players had to get out the locker room just to get some air. So that could have went,
And it's fine. That's all part of the game.
It's all part of the game. No, you're on the road. That's part fine. Of the game. Just like, the old Boston Garden was,
Nope.
That's all.
No. The visitor's locker room should be the worst.
They always are shit. Yep.
Absolutely should be. I had no problems with that. Absolutely.
But
which is why that delay was just terrifying me. It was just terrifying me.
just from a psychological standpoint, what could have thrown you off? But the players, you got to get the players, the coaches credit for just, you know, having the team just, hey, we're focused. All you heard during the halftime was, look, guys are locked in. We're not, you know, they're not going to take off their pads, nothing like that. They're just going, you know, keep loose, get some snacks or whatever, and go about their business. So that level of focus and concentration, and that, to me, that's just add to the layer of mental toughness that your team showed throughout the course of not only during the game, but everything leading up to the game as far as the professionalism. And you look, you know, when we look at franchises who are losers, a lot of them lack professionalism and mental toughness. That's all. And there are plenty of these franchises that are across the NFL, a number of them. So you got to give Buffalo all the credit in the world. And they, you know, clearly, and I'm not stuttering when I say this, clearly were the better football team, period.
No doubt about it.
So go ahead.
Yeah, please. I want to respond to all of that. So as you were talking, a thought popped into my mind. What I was terrified of, and I cannot tell you, like, I was out with my brother and friends in Atlanta, and we were out. And when that delay was kicking in, I was like, I tapped my brother and said, I gotta go. Like, I was getting, that's how nervous I was after that. And I was way overconfident after that first quarter. Leading into second quarter, I was like, oh, we're better. I know we're better. Like, this is not even a doubt in my mind. But the thought that I had was, what I was way more terrified as you were talking, it really became clear in my mind was not how we were going to react, but I was anticipating a change in game plan from Andy Reid and his coaching staff. And there was none. And then that got me thinking about the Super Bowl. And then I was just thinking, like, you know who may not be great at in-game adjustments is Andy Reid. And this is the same complaint I have about my team, where most of the time we're going to come in with a fantastic game plan. Right. So everybody's going to be well coached, well prepared, well game plan, all that's going to be there. But when things are thrown for a curve, that's where we fall apart. It's very challenging for my team to change mid-game. That's what I've noticed. And I was thinking about that with Andy Reid. With that being said, the thing that I was super impressed by was that final drive that was just not just a we're better than you and we're just going to put up as many points as possible. That was we are better than you, but we don't want your offense to ever get this ball back. Like, end of the game drive, which was super, super impressive because it was on one end very deflating to the Kansas City Chiefs in general, and also very bolstering for those inevitable end of the game moments where it would have been more panicky and would have been more rely on Josh Allen to do X, Y, and Z. And instead, it was just a we're going to be super physical with you drive with all of our various players, short passes, runs with all the various different running backs, called runs to Josh Allen, and that's just physically taking it out of a team. And that's when you know you're a better team, when you can just look across the line of you and just say, we're just going to physically dominate you. And that is when you know you left no doubt. And you know this about me. one of my favorite things to do, and it's not even with my team, so I don't know what this says about me, is I like to go to the losers' newspapers and their podcasts, everything, just listen for the tone and tenor, and not really like 0-5 teams. I'm talking about playoff losses, big games like this. I just really, really like it. And what you were hearing from a lot of the Chiefs fans, and even looking at their papers and listening to the interviews of the actual players and coaches, was this was a reckoning game. This game proved all of the things that were haunting the team. And it proved that they were not only no longer number one in the AFC, but man, the Bills exposed everything. So that it now some of those losses don't look like shaky losses by the Chiefs. It looks like the Chiefs were lucky to even be in those games. And so you start really questioning where the Chiefs actually are in the division. And that is absolutely what you want to do if you're a division rival. Make them question everything. Physically dominate them, and then make them question everything about themselves. So, yes, a win.
Yeah, I think that how you won was probably even more so impressive than actual winning.
Yes.
If you would have, like, won 38-35 and the Chiefs come back and the offense gets clicking, then they're going to say, you know what, we tweak our defense a little bit, and then but we can still score on you at will. And you still – and we had a – and or they'll say we had a couple – we had turnovers and we still almost beat you.
Yeah.
The fact that you were – the fact that you basically dominated this game from start to finish and didn't let them off the mat just speaks – you know, speaks to not only where – you know, speaks to where you're at, and it also speaks to where they're at. Two things can be true. So I think it
was everything that we did hurt.
Yes.
Everything. Yep. Yep. So it wasn't like stupid Mahomes turnovers, right? It was like Tyreek Hill making a business decision or worried about the, you know, like that. And then it is real. You want to talk about just a play. To jump up, bat that pass up in the air. Grab it out of the air, like just out of nowhere. Anyways, that hurt.
Yes.
They were grinding to get back into that game. That hurt. The pick six hurt. And so that, like, that's what it wasn't, to your point, it wasn't just like a bunch of dumb Mahomes decisions. You can blow that off. You can be like that coach. Those were timely things that happened because of the physicality of the game.
Yeah, so I'll use this analogy before we move on in terms of the Chiefs. I don't know why. I guess I don't know why this analogy popped in my head. Maybe I'm hungry or something. You know, got a sweet tooth from some ice cream. But I don't like fighting my ice cream. I don't. Bend the fork back. It drives me crazy. You want the hot scoop just at Friendly's. Scoop, get them three scoops and keep it moving. The Chiefs for the last 3 years have had the hot scoop and it's been easy. This year they're going to be fighting the ice cream this year.
Yep.
They're going to be fighting the ice cream. They will make the playoffs on sheer talent and the fact that there's an extra playoff spot. But we talked about this yesterday a little bit. I'd be surprised if they may not get a home game in the playoffs this year. They may not. That's or at most one game.
Their road is down. It is.
They're vulnerable. There's no question about it. You know, the defense and all along with the turnovers. I think the turnovers are definitely fixable. That's fixable. The defense. I don't know how fixable that defense, like. They can get better. They can improve, but from a personnel standpoint, they're not going to be able to improve that much dramatically unless they pull off a mid-season trade somehow. But the Chiefs are in for they're going to battle this year. It's going to be a struggle. I compared them a lot to the 2000 Rams. You know, coming off a championship, or even though they would not come off championship last year, but everything leading up to this year had been relatively easy as far as scoring, as far as wins. You know, they pumping out 12-4, 13-2, 14-2, like it's nothing. Not going to be that type of year this year. It's just not. So I've seen enough of the body of work. I think five games is enough to not write somebody off, but to say, you know what, they're going to fight week in and week out, and everything, most things will be difficult.
I mean, what yesterday's game proved is you just look at the cheat. You look at them for what they are, not for what you remember them being.
Right.
They're 2-3 and fourth in their division right now. Yeah. That's the team that's going to have to fight.
Yeah.
You just are. You put yourself in that position.
Real or not, Detroit, Jacksonville, and we know that they're both two of the worst teams in the league, if not the two worst teams in the league. Is it conceivable to you that one of them, if not both of them, go 0-17?
Detroit is so bad. They're so bad.
So is Jacksonville.
Yeah, but that's what I was going to get to.
Yeah, and Jacksonville, you know, with the coaching.
That's what I was going to get to.
Yeah.
But they are a bad team.
Yes.
We've seen plenty of bad teams be able to scratch out a game. That's still an NFL team.
Right.
Jacksonville? They don't know what's going on in Jacksonville.
No.
At least
Detroit's been competitive.
I can't imagine the circumstance that Jacksonville wins in. How about that?
Right.
I don't know how they get a victory. With Detroit, I could see where they could get a victory. I could see what's going on with that team. Jacksonville, no clue. Zero clue. Maybe if they fire Urban Meyer mid-year within the next few games, and then they get that, you know, excited for new head coach bump, maybe. But that's all I got for you, Rel. So Jacksonville. Fully expect them to go 0-17.
One of these teams is going 0-17. I'll say that. One of them is going 0-17. If you made me have to choose, I probably would choose Detroit only because I think Jacksonville's division is just that bad. Like Houston, you know, I don't know. I can't. They both of them are bad. They're bad, though. Oh, my God. At least Detroit has been competitive. At least Detroit's been competitive.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, you're really.
They look like an NFL franchise.
They do. Detroit does look like, yes. That's a great, that's a fair point. Jacksonville does not look like an NFL franchise.
Nope. It doesn't.
At all. Tom Brady had over 400 yards passing, 5 touchdowns just today. 44 years old. Is it conceivable that he will be MVP this year in the NFL?
Sure is the answer to that question. Sure. Why not? Tom Brady can do whatever he wants. So that's not the question. The real question is why the Dolphins refuse to move off a man. Because if you play man against Brady the whole game, which they did, he's going to destroy you. So if every team plays like the Dolphins did, absolutely Brady's winning MVP. But assuming that some of the teams play differently, it could be a challenge, but also the NFC South, no bueno. He's playing the AFC East down. The schedule's pretty sweet. Brady MVP.
I think they play the AFC East too. Yeah. Yeah, they play the AFC East well. Yeah, schedule.
Yep. Yep. Their schedule's sweet. It's sweet.
Yeah.
It's me. So, sure.
I mean, to me, it'll be a matter, and again, especially with the extra game, we've seen Brady get off to hot starts and kind of fade a bit down the stretch. We see him get off the hot starts and kind of fade a bit down the stretch. So that, I say that will be the question. So we have two teams that are legit Super Bowl contenders. We had two teams that are just, to me, just powerhouse teams as far as physicality and as far as, you know, what they do, what they have on both lines of scrimmage. The LA Chargers over Cleveland Cavaliers. Over, I said Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yeah, over, wow.
Cleveland Cavaliers, jeez. Like, what is the Cavaliers, Mike? Well, you know, the Cavaliers probably will struggle to score 40 points this year.
Yeah.
But saw, in my opinion, you saw the game of the year with L.A. over Cleveland, 47-42. This game was just, I mean, you're talking about 41 points in the fourth quarter. You're talking about over 1,000 yards of offense. It was beautiful to watch. I mean, again, you know how good these two teams are. I was looking forward to this game outside of the Buffalo-Kansas City game all week. Even going back to last week, and it more than lived up to the billing. I mean, it probably exceeded the billing. I didn't believe that anybody could put 40 on Cleveland. We know the Chargers' defense can be shaky, and Cleveland ran all over them, but I didn't see anybody this year putting 40 plus on the Cleveland Browns, which just shows you how talented that Charger offense is, along with they have a generational quarterback without question. Stefanski took blame as he should have for how he handled the end of the game. You are up by 1 point and you on a, for whatever reason, on a 3rd and 9, decide to run the ball, which to me, again, made no sense. Especially the fact that they're only down by one and they had timeouts and it was still, you know, a couple minutes left in the game. So I didn't understand that play call. That was that play call in series of events. Cause to me, he was kind of caught in between of trying to run the clock out as well as trying to get a first down. He throws the ball on, let me look at the play sequence. I want to get this right. Cause it was bad. Threw the ball on first down, ran the ball on first down, threw the ball on second, and then ran the ball on third. So it seemed like he was just caught in between. To his credit, we see a lot of these coaches don't take any responsibility and say, this is just the way I called it. He immediately said, you know, this was a bad mistake, which is new for a Cleveland franchise. But putting that aside, it was just a phenomenal game to watch. These two teams just go at it tit for tat. And again, we said this all year long that these are two teams that these are Super Bowl caliber teams. There's no question about it. These two teams can play and beat anyone on any at any time. These are how good both of these two teams are. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I don't know if I would say different sense from you, but first of all, extremely enjoyable game. Just an extremely enjoyable game to watch. I think like when I go into analysis mode, what I came away thinking most was I was like, these are two young teams. The game management and like the decisions about which plays to go after and what type of tag, all of it was very helter skelter. And so it was like two young Warrior teams really, really going at it. I do, these are the teams the Patriots used to eat a lot. Because of the amount of mistakes that they would make. And so I do wonder, there are some professional football teams out here that really mitigate the amount of mistakes their teams make in order to optimize their winning. And so I wonder what that looks like later on. But both of these teams have, you know, AFC championship and more aspirations. Absolutely. And talent.
Yeah, so for the record, the play calling was he ran the ball on first down, threw the ball on second, and ran the ball on third, which, again, still made zero sense going down the stretch in that second-to-last possession that Cleveland had. Yeah, these are two highly talented, talented teams physically. But to your point, there is, you know, again, Chargers doing Chargers stuff by missing two extra points. That type of stuff will get you beat. The play calling at the end with Stefanski and the offense, that stuff, that type of play call will get you beat. So, yeah, they are. We know how talented they are. We know that they can play with anybody. They can beat anybody. But they are, like, to your point, they are still technical things that, you know, coaching-wise, strategy-wise, that could be cleaned up. But you expect that out too young.
They're going to be a little bit more disciplined than they were.
Yes. No. That yeah.
They've gone through part of that fire. Going to the playoffs, experiencing highs, and then experiencing the low of exiting. Not so much for Los Angeles Chargers.
So right. Well, I think this is new for both of them.
But so, like, I expect them to be a little bit more, like, helter-skelter, herky-jerky, whatever, twitchy at the end.
Right.
I was looking for Cleveland to be a little bit more poised than they were in that. So that just, Cleveland's still terrifying. Don't get me wrong. Both of these teams are terrifying. But that was just a Okay.
Yep. Something just to follow away.
Yeah.
Yep. Something to follow away for the, you know, when you get to the postseason without question. All right, here we go. 4-1, but so Green Bay, the Rams, Baltimore are all 4-1, but I'm not. We don't pretend like we are completely sold on any one of those teams. Let's go by game real quick. Green Bay 25, Cincinnati 22. You had this game was a wild game, wild ending to say the least. I've never seen anything like this in my life where you had the kickers missing between the two kickers, they missed five straight kicks from the fourth quarter into overtime. You had McPherson, the Cincinnati kicker, thinking that he actually made the kick and celebrate, which I've never seen that either. he celebrated with the holder. They're like, nah, B, you didn't, you actually missed it. Green Bay survives on the road against an up-and-coming talented Cincinnati team, which has some talent. We know it has a Pro Bowl and a future All-Pro caliber quarterback. Very good game. Green Bay did what it had to do. We know, you know, Rodgers and Devontae Adams do what they do. I guess, am I being too hard on Green Bay from a standpoint of they have won two? Winning on the road should not be taken for granted. So you go on the road a couple weeks ago, beat San Francisco, which was undefeated at the time, cross country. You come back 2 weeks later and beat a pretty good Cincinnati team. I get. Am I being too hard on Green Bay, or based on expectations?
Hey, there you go.
That's what it is.
It is just, we've seen this before. They're at it. I mean, look, and it's, you know, there's every franchise wants to get to this point. The expectation is that you're in the Super Bowl. So it's like, yep, they're 4-1. They should be 4-1. If you are going to get to the place they want to get to, then you have to be really good in the regular season. Peyton Manning got to that point. Tom Brady got to that point. You know, the greats get to that point. Yep. Yes, Green Bay, you should beat Cincinnati. Period.
Yep.
And especially after you get three chances to do it, yeah, you should somehow get it done after giving it away over and over and over again. So it's like they should be doing this, and the way that they're doing it is skeptical. So, they get a shrug. They get a shrug from me. Like, yep, you beat Cincinnati. It's actually more about Cincinnati learning how to win in the NFL than it was about how good Green Bay was, because they actually weren't fantastic.
No. Thursday night, saw the Rams take out Seattle 26-17. I understand they had a big second half. But again, the big story in this game, of course, is Russell Wilson being, you know, getting hurt in his thumb, hitting, I think, Aaron Donald's hand, being out 4 to 8 weeks. Again, the Rams did just enough.
Yep.
To get by a road, you certainly won't give back a road win in a division. But considering that you have Geno Smith entering the game, if you have Super Bowl aspirations, that game probably should not have been that hard.
They did exactly what they should have done.
Yes, win the game.
Whether it was an injury or not.
Yep.
And division game rival. So, you know, those games are always quirky and ugly, but you learn nothing about the Rams' capabilities in this game at all. So what I thought about them last week, which was second in the division and probably the wild card spot, is exactly what I still think about them this week.
And finally, Baltimore 31-25 over Indianapolis in overtime, a game that if you're an Indianapolis fan, I'm sure you didn't sleep last night, because you had no business. I mean, no business losing that game, considering the way it was going. And I mean, Baltimore looked dead in the water. You get a field goal blocked, you miss a field goal. And you just, again, your quarterback plays great. I mean, Wentz played one of his best games he's played in about 3 or 4 years. You have over 500 yards of offense. That was a game that just, again, that was a killer for Indianapolis. And that would have been a big win. Indianapolis, basically, that division is so bad, Indianapolis could still win that division. That's how bad the division is. Don't be surprised. The schedule is about to soften up. Coming in the coming weeks, they played a brutal schedule to begin with, but that's a tough one. That was a hard one, tough pill to swallow if you're a Colts fan. Big story of this game, without question, was Lamar Jackson. I thought 37-43, 442, 4 touchdowns. I thought it was his best performance, frankly, of his career. To be honest with you, I've never seen him throw the ball better. I know he's had some great running games where he's rushed over 100 yards and multiple touchdowns. But as far as him dropping back and throwing the ball, he's never in his life as a pro throwing the ball better last night. He made every big play known to mankind. He was phenomenal last night, to say the least. What were your thoughts on his performance?
Lamar Jackson did Lamar Jackson things. Indy's defense, I don't know what happened to that defense.
Yeah.
They're bad. They're really
both bad. Defenses are bad. Baltimore's bad too, because Indianapolis go up and down the field the way they did. They look comfortable.
Now, so Lamar looked comfortable in the pocket and performed as if he was comfortable in the pocket. You're going to have a for real NFL defense to give him props. And that was, I don't know what Indy was happening. I don't know. They just decided not to play defense yesterday.
Yeah.
It was impressive. It was impressive. He had a field day.
No, it gets to a point. To your point, yeah, he threw the ball all over the place, but it gets to a point where
everything was open.
Everything and everybody was open. That guy, tight end Andrews, you might want to check him.
Yep, no, they didn't like it. They didn't like defending the middle of the field. They didn't like that. They just ceded that to them. Can't hurt us in the middle.
Oh man. And Andrews is a good player. He's a very good player. I'm not sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But geez, he looked
even better player when you leave him wide open.
Yes. Yeah, my goodness. He looked like Ozzie Newsome last night. My goodness. Those three teams, listen. All right, I'll ask you this. Which one of those three teams do you have the most confidence in moving forward? Green Bay, the Rams, or Baltimore to make a run?
The obvious answer is Green Bay.
Right.
But I choose Baltimore.
Why?
I think their physical style and the sheer magnitude of Lamar Jackson's ability to impact the game gives them the best chance to do stunners on their playoff run.
So you believe Lamar's taking a step up? You believe he's taking
I believe he is as confident in that offense and that offense runs as best it possibly can. The way he's playing right now. The only step now is to get him better skill position players. That's the next level. He and his office have grown to mastery level. Yes, that I do know. Because you can see in his performance. That's why he's such a comfortable passer, because he understands the offense completely.
Yes.
Completely. It's his offense, 100%.
No question. No question about it. All right, we go to biggest disappointments, and we had people and teams fighting over this category. There were people that initially I had two.
Yep.
But a couple others said, you know what, bro?
Yep.
We want to join your list.
This is a battle.
Well, let's begin with the obvious one.
I can go first if you want me to.
Yeah, John Gruden. Go, give me a thought.
Here's how I do it, to give you plenty of space to go on John Gruden, because I'm going to sound like a conspiracy theorist once I get started.
So the way
that I'm looking at this is I'm going to, like, rank them. And so for right now, I'm going to scratch off NFL kickers, because that was at least normal. That was, like, football thing.
Yep.
And then after that, then I'll go to – this is a battle. I think after that, I'll go Dan Campbell, because as much as it was hilarious that he was crying, he was at least crying over football related stuff.
Yes.
With Jacksonville, which will be next, it's not football related stuff, because my brother, no. That it was you that asked the question. That was the 0-16. I can't imagine how they went without firing Urban Meyer. And it doesn't seem like the team wants to do that right now. So it's not football related, but it directly impacts their ability to win. That one at least makes sense. John Gruden, now that makes no sense to me, unless something else is going on, but I'll leave the runway to you and just fill in.
All right, so I'll get to the Gruden, go directly to Gruden. So Gruden, of course, is out as Vegas coach. He fell on the sword. We heard about last week the email that came out when he was talking about DeMarre Smith, you know, made a derogatory comment about DeMarre Smith's lips, and he thought that I didn't think initially that I'm not gonna lie, I didn't think he would be fired. Then you hear over the weekend rumblings that there were multiple and countless emails that this transpired. Not, this wasn't just one email, that this was going on, him sending these emails over a 7-year period, 2011 to 2018, a lot of them going to his, you know, former colleague, Bruce Allen, who, of course, you know, worked with the Washington football team for a number of years, but also worked with John Gruden back in the old Tampa Bay days. So he covered all the bases of offending everybody, whereas race, you know, misogyny, and, you know, homophobia. He checked all those boxes. So here's the thing about it. And of course, we know in 2021, old emails and stuff will get you up out of here quickly. I want the audience to not be fooled by any stretch, not pat the NFL on the back for this. The NFL could give a shit about race, about some of the stuff that Gruden said. It's not even about that. It's about the fact that Gruden just happened to be there, and he allowed them to use him per se as somebody who can say, hey, we don't tolerate this, so we're going to kind of make an example of this from that standpoint. Now, I'm not resolving Gruden by any such imagination. Gruden got exactly what he fucking deserved, period. Period. But I don't want anybody to think that the pat of the NFL on the back for the action that it took. Now, again, it didn't take any official action, but, you know, there were reports coming out that the NFL was going to continue to leak these emails until Gruden was pushed out by one Mark Davis, the owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. Again, Gruden got exactly what he deserved. Here's the thing too, also another point, a second point too about it. Gruden sending these emails out just lets you know, and this is my opinion, I don't normally do conspiracy theories, but it's not even conspiracy theory, this is just a straight opinion. I don't think Gruden, when he was sending these emails over the course of the 7-year period, believed he ever was going to coach an NFL team again. I really don't. Because I just can't see you sending these emails and not thinking that somehow they wouldn't come out, or thinking that you would, like, I just don't. Maybe I'm giving them too much credit. I could easily be giving them too much credit. But I don't think he ever, this is my opinion, I don't think he ever envisioned coaching an NFL team, because he was out a long time, did the Monday Night Football games for a number of years. But please don't give the NFL any credit for this. This is something they stumbled into. And by the way, this is a reflection, like, what came before this is they're investigating a toxic culture from the Washington football team. Those two kind of investigations collided, so to speak. This was unraveled because of that. Don't forget about that. The NFL has not cared, give a shit about toxic cultures when it comes to misogyny or race and what have you. We can do 10 podcasts on that. So that's what I have in terms of John Gruden.
I have so much to say about this subject.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. So much go to ahead. Say about
go this ahead. I am going to double down on everything that you said. Double down, because we're going to go deep here. It is my firm belief in this. And again, I have no proof, but whatever. It is my firm belief that when Gruden signed that 10-year, $10 million contract,
no, 100 million.
$10 million a year. Yep. 10-year contract. Sorry, you're right. 100 million total. He never had any thought process of thinking about finishing that contract. Because remember, coaches' contracts, unlike players, are completely 100% guaranteed.
Yep.
I think he systematically began to destroy that team, because nobody comes in and trades their best player on defense and offense as soon as they get there and try to emotionally cripple their star quarterback. The thing that had stopped Gruden these past couple of years has been that Carr has refused to suck. He just has. And to cut your quarterback would be way too obvious in what you're trying to do. It is now my belief that Urban Meyer, with all of his histrionics, showed Gruden a way. And so here's where I dive deep with you. Not only do I say the NFL should not be patted on their back, but I do say co-conspirators, I decree John Gruden and the NFL to be in this in order that he gets what he wants, which is to sit on his ass and collect millions, and they get what they want, someone to fall on a sword for racial diversity, yada, yada, yada. So yep. I double down on what you're saying and say, don't give Gruden any credit in this either.
No.
Both of them tied it to him.
No, yeah, no. Nothing you say would surprise me. Nothing. If it were completely true, it wouldn't. Because here's the thing about the NFL. What the NFL is great at, they're great at perception, creating heavy perception and light reality.
Yep.
They're great at that. They are masters of that.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Here's how you know to take any of this seriously. If Gruden loses, all of that money, I'm wrong.
Right. Yep.
I'm wrong.
Yep.
But if it's one of these things like, oh, we'll let the Raiders do an independent investigation.
Yep.
Or you can't exactly. See me. I'm doing all these quotation marks.
Yep.
Or we'll do an independent investigation. And then the ultimate thing is he loses, you know, he gets 70% of his remaining salary. It's like, no. That wasn't a real investigation.
Right.
The only thing that you can look at on Gruden's part is he's losing sponsors and maybe some jobs that he would have been able to get. He probably would have had to calculate that as part of the game. But if he got the full, which is $60 million, literally he gets $60 million to doing nothing from this point on. He knew he couldn't get $60 million anywhere else. So whatever.
No.
Like anything after this is bonus, like mud cake. It's just cake. So that's the only way. If the NFL refuses to give him his money, this is real, and I was wrong. If he loses a percentage of money that actually hurts him, meaning he couldn't have made that up in potential employment, then the NFL was real. Anything short of that, then this is BS. And they were together on this 100%.
I would not doubt it. And I'm telling you, I'm going to make a prediction as far as Gruden's future. Gruden will be, and this is the world we live in right now. Gruden will be on. He probably will start a podcast. It could be right wing. It's coming.
I was going to go Dancing with the Stars first. But I like the podcast.
He'll be on the podcast.
That's good. You're right.
We'll have his own podcast in like in a month. I won't even give it 2 months. I'll give it a month. Yeah, his own podcast. So, you know, this is 2021 with the NFL. This is how they move. And again, when I saw this story, I was not in the least bit fooled by it whatsoever. Or for that matter, you know, you can't be or the least bit surprised by it.
Here's where the conversation turns immediately. How good a job is that?
I mean, listen, that job hasn't been, I wouldn't touch that job. I'm sorry.
Hold on. Think about it. Actually get a coach and coaching staff that wants to win? I mean, you got a Pro Bowl quarterback.
You do got, no, the quarterback
star can play. Receiver.
You got a new stadium. You got
talent on defense.
You got a new stadium. They're worse jobs. From that standpoint.
I don't know, Rel. You find me a better opportunity.
Oh, in terms of right now, there's not a better opportunity. No, that's the best job opening right now, without question. As far as the over, or as far as
I've done no cap investigations.
So they have talent. No, that team has talent. They have some players. They have some talent.
who was it was
and you're following and you're
the
following
one that I immediately thought of was Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah, that he would love. Yeah, he would love that. He would. He would take that job.
That'd be a good situation.
That would. That would be a good look for him. He would take that job today. He would, and there's no question he would take that job. That. Yeah. Listen. Yeah. I mean, you are immediately. I mean, you're following a joke as far as John Gruden. So you can only go up from that standpoint, from a professionalism and from a standpoint of you. Again, it's like you know.
Yeah, if it's not clear, I mean, I've been on this for years. I know I'll come off as a nut, but that's fine. But if I have not made it clear, let me make this very clear. I have been of the opinion that John Gruden has never intentionally wanted to win one game with the Raiders. Let me make that perfectly clear.
Right. No, I listen, there's nothing that I can't debate that. Andy, there's no... To me, if you watch them closely, if you follow that scene, to follow the moves, some of the, like, I don't see how you can even debate that. Like, somebody, I mean, somebody gives you $100 million, 10 years guaranteed, 10 years, $100 million guarantee is like, he really had no motivation.
Yeah, you know, the motivation, yeah, it's going to be hard.
And I already got super hard. And I already got a Super Bowl
ring. We'll get this $10 million anyway?
Yeah, and I got a Super Bowl ring already.
Do I need to stay late? Dave Vaderwerk will be here tomorrow.
And the fact, and the, how much power he had within the organization.
Yeah.
Like, come on, this dude was a coach. Basically, was the coach in, pseudo
GM. Yeah, final say in all personnel.
Everything, yes. All of that. So, yeah.
Yep.
So, you know. It'll be interesting who they choose, which direction they go in. The enemy would be my first choice if I were running the organization, if I were the owner. To be honest with you, I like him a lot. You might have even answered this already. Who would be the first coach fired?
I mean, everybody beat us to it. Gruden.
Gruden. Well, yes, Gruden. We already right. Oh. I had put him aside. Gruden. Yeah.
But after that, it's got to be Urban Meyer. It's got to be.
Yeah.
He's begging for it at this point. Put him out of his misery.
Yeah, no. Put him out. Put the players out there in misery. How about that?
Yep.
They don't want – he don't really want to be there anymore, and they don't want him there.
Nope. So, nobody wants this. No, nobody.
Nobody. Nah. Nobody wants this at this point. Again, that team is a horrible team. But they do have a quarterback that has ability. But what you worry about if you're a Jacksonville fan, all 10 of you, is that your quarterback gets the shit beat out of him and it ruins him mentally. So that you don't want to see, even with the losing. Losing's losing. We've had a number of great quarterbacks, top prospects go through losing seasons. That's the NFL. That's just
even in the best of circumstances, what he's doing now is picking up horrible habits.
Oh yes, yeah, without question.
That another coach is going to have to undo.
Yep.
So even in the best of circumstances, just like he's picking up the worst. You know, all the worst habits in the world. Because I can imagine, of course, he hears everything times a billion than what we hear. And he's just checked out. Like, this guy's going to be gone in a second. I'm going to be here for an eternity. Why am I listening to him?
When
I watch that team, I'm just like, it looks like everybody's just playing for themselves.
Yeah. No. They
definitely. That's not a professional NFL team out there.
No. No.
I struggle to see how they're gonna win a game. I do. I struggle.
Yeah,
I mean, don't. I can't.
Listen, don't let's not be surprised if it could be two. It could be 2-0-17 teams. That would not surprise me. But yeah, Jacksonville is gonna be very hard pressed. And I think Detroit has better personnel too. All of when you look at go down the board. I was very impressed with even in a close win. I was very impressed with what Arizona did yesterday. And I know everybody's saying, well, what are you talking about? They only won 17-10. San Francisco's not very good. Garoppolo, Trey Lance in the game. They should win. Yeah, they absolutely should win. But I look at the defense, and I look at, when I'm looking at Super Bowl caliber teams, how many different ways can you win a game? And Kyler Murray was not spectacular yesterday. They didn't have 400 or 500 yards of offense, but their defense is real. So again, it's one of those performances that might go over under the radar a bit, maybe not as much because they're undefeated. They're the only undefeated team in the league. But I was thoroughly impressed with what Arizona did yesterday without even being spectacular. What are your thoughts?
5-0.
That's it.
Think they're being underrated. 5-0.
Yeah.
Who's the best team in the league? Arizona.
5-0. Yeah.
At this point in time, racking up those wins, no losses, it means everything. Yep. It matters. It matters. This is where it matters. 1-0, 2-0, 3-0, man, not so interested.
No, 5-0 is
4-0, you start piquing my curiosity. 5-0, I take notice. I'm taking notice.
Yeah.
I'm taking notice. They can win any game.
Yes.
They can win any game. They're not out of any game for any amount of time at all. At all. They're terrifying everywhere. They're terrifying everywhere. They're an absolute Super Bowl contender. Period. End of sentence.
And speaking of that's a perfect lead into our sneak peek this week for week 6. Arizona at Cleveland. What are your early thoughts on this game?
Yeah.
What are you going to be looking for?
So the early thoughts, so I'll answer both of those. The early thoughts are that Arizona wins this game. The immediate, what I'll be looking for is which quarterback is able to absorb the other quarterback's punch and continue going back. Because both quarterbacks have proven it this season and in past seasons that not only are they willing to move within the offense, but they excel when things are breaking down around them. And it'll be the one that is willing to make to excel the most. For the most ABC analysis, you got to give Arizona the benefit in the passing game. Hopkins, Green, Williams. But you definitely have to give Cleveland that running back backfield is a juggernaut. I think more often than not, they lose their balance as the game gets tighter and tighter. I would love to see them just continue to pound that dominant running game. And so, as always, it'll end up being Arizona's defensive line against Cleveland's offensive line.
Yeah, it should be a great matchup in turn because these are both teams that they are great at the line of scrimmage, both of them. Like they're both excellent offensive lines, both excellent defensive lines. I actually like Cleveland. I think that running game will be the difference. I think I actually think they will control the clock in that particular game. But they've been the best team in the league. I would have Kyler Murray as my MVP, to be honest with you.
He's so special. He's so special.
He's just smooth. Like, just just makes it look easy. Like, he really makes it, and effortless. I think right now he's completing, 75% of his passes. Maybe even higher. Might be 76.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's crazy.
These are not dink and dunks.
It's crazy. It's legit crazy.
So,
you should not be able to do these two things. You just should not be able to.
No. I mean, all right. To be honest,
throw accurately off schedule, on schedule, downfield. No.
And then break a 20-yard run without breaking a sweat.
Come on now. That's absurd.
He's a special player, without question.
That's why, if you look at these rosters side by side, you probably give Cleveland the slight advantage, but
no, he's a step above Mayfield. No,
he's just so special. It just makes up any of that difference and might even give Arizona the slight edge.
Yeah, no, he's the ultimate. Like, when you have a quarterback like that it could just cover up mistakes and just raise the tide that raises all boats. I mean, that's all.
Miles Barrett is a beast.
Woo. Yeah, he is. He's having a defensive player of the year type. He's healthy, he can
stay away from my quarterback. Stay away. Start far. No, I don't like that. I don't like that. He's terrified. Nope.
Before I let you go.
Fucking offensive lineman. Yeah, he's just throwing them.
No, it's like some old, like, Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Yeah, it was bad.
Just throwing your offensive lineman around.
Nope, I'm good.
Any thoughts on, well, I know you have some thoughts, but a few thoughts on your Red Sox as they go back to the LCS. Two back-to-back, heart-wrenching, exciting wins in one innings and the last one, you know, bottom of the ninth.
Yeah. I was talking to another Red Sox fan, and we was trying to go down through the teams in recent history, the championship teams, and we were in the 90s when we got to like a team that just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the thing that's probably blowing my mind the most is that no one on planet Earth, even in Boston, gave this team any type of chance. And to be here, like, it's mind-boggling. It truly, truly is mind-boggling. It's got all of us going back into the season and, like, being like, where was this? Where was this? What did we miss? What did we all miss? So it's mind-boggling, and I truly don't know if as a fan I can handle the Red Sox and the Bills being good at the same time. I don't know if I can. honestly. Because the Red Sox thing doesn't even seem real right now. It really doesn't. I have to keep understanding what's going on there. It's wild.
Yeah.
So no coherent thoughts right now, but it's wild. I'll have coherence next week.
Here's the thing about the Red Sox, and this has been since 04 when they started winning at a high level. If you want theater and drama, that they're your team. Like, they don't just, this is not about just winning. It's about, we got to go 15 innings. We got to get the pinch hit home run. Oh, we got to get the bloody sock. Oh, like, we do all, you know, we got to win on the road at Yankee Stadium, game 7. So,
whatever will make me the most exhausted.
Yes, whatever's going to bring up the heart rate.
They do that. That's what's going to happen.
They're going to do it. Like, they have as a franchise, the last 17 years, they've had a flair for the dramatics. And even if you're not a fan of the team, just if you're just a sports fan, you put them on in the postseason, you're going to see something special. You're going to see, like, you're going to see something that just has you like, damn, like, oh, I can't stop watching this. And even more so than I've seen any other team in any other sport during this time period. I can't think of another team. We've had teams that win multiple championships. We had teams that had success, but as far as winning and flair for the dramatics, and there's not been a team in any other sport that's had that combination like the Red Sox. It just hasn't. Like, it's mind-boggling. This kind of reminds me of 2013 when they kind of came out of nowhere. Like, that team wasn't expected to dominate.
No.
So, don't be surprised in 3 weeks if the Red Sox are holding the trophy. Just don't. Because this is when they get on these rolls, the kind of tends to last for a couple rounds.
This one is wild.
No, this would be the most unlikely.
You're right. It's just crazy. Like, the runs. Like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, again, no coherent thought. Right now, it's just like, this is bananas. I could not have foreseen this. And I like to think of myself as an intelligent sports fan. I could not have seen this.
Yeah, I don't I just don't think that this goes beyond
intelligence. I was 1,000% okay with the season ending after beating the Yankees. I could not have been
more thrilled and excited
with the season. Yeah. It was an absolute success. More than a success. I was fine with the blowout that was coming. I was fine with all of that. Totally okay with it. This is wild. Now I don't know how to feel. I truly don't.
Yeah.
I was not anticipating being in this space. I was not.
That, I mean, that got to be, listen, when your team, I'll say this, and we both, I've had teams win championships, but I don't think I've had a team, well, I think North Carolina in 2017 was kind of, well, they wasn't unexpected. They were one of the top four seeds. I hadn't had that. I have not had that.
Yeah, I'm trying to think if one of your final four runs have been more just kind of like.
Oh, 2000. I'll say when I went. Yeah, 2000, they were like an AC, and they kind of, they like team wasn't very good in regular season. People were questioning whether or not they should have been in the tournament. Yeah, that caught me off guard, and that was beautiful to watch, considering that they kind of like overachieved. So that was fun. But for the most part, I have not had a team that was not expected to win, and your team is winning when they're not expected to win. That has to be a great fan feeling as a sports fan, winning when you're not expected to. Because it's one, like, you know, you root for, rest in peace, Kobe Bryant, Shaquille O'Neal. You're supposed to win a championship. You were expected to win not only multiple championships, to say that, at that, you know. And, you know, you get, for the most part, my teams have been favored to win. And as the flip side is, when you don't win, when you're favored, 0-4 Lakers, it's, you know, that can just, you know, mess you up.
Today too.
So when your team is, I say that to say, when your team wins, when they're not expected to, that's the best. It's the absolute best. It doesn't get any sweeter than that. When you're winning, when you're not expected, without real heavy expectations. And there, trust me, there was no heavy expectations for this Red Sox team coming to the season. It just wasn't.
This is a weird one to explain. This is a weird one to explain.
People still hadn't recovered from the Mookie Betts trade. So,
That's a way to go in this conversation. That was a choice. It was a choice.
But hey, Red Sox Bills, man, enjoy it. Enjoy this utopia of winning in sports. It doesn't come along often.
It's fun to be here, I will say.
It's good.
You get no complaints from me.
No. All right, man. That's gonna wrap it up. Thanks again to Robert Sapp for joining the program. We will see him next time. Enjoy your evening, brother.
All right, sir. Appreciate you. Have a good one.
Yep. As always, thanks to Robert Sapp. We still got a little program left. We'll finish it off with some real thoughts. We already mentioned what happened to Alabama. Alabama went down to Texas A&M. Just a wild weekend of NFL, excuse me, of college football. Some fun games to watch. The Texas-Oklahoma game was wild. Texas blowing a 21-point lead. We can't take any Pac Big 12 team serious as far as the national championship, because they don't play any defense. I don't go too crazy about the Bama loss. We've seen Bama lose one game early in the season and bounce back and win national championships. It caught me off guard. I thought the only team that would beat Alabama would be Georgia. Georgia destroys Auburn. Georgia right now, number one, rightfully so. That defense is scary. Great win for Iowa. Tough break for Penn State, losing the quarterback. You know, the quarterback doesn't get hurt. I think Penn State probably easily wins that game, but, you know, that's football. Michigan's still playing well. But the main thing is, again, Alabama going down. I still think Alabama and Georgia will be the two representatives out the SEC the national playoff. I still think both those teams will represent the SEC come playoff time. I'm not going to discount a Nick Saban Alabama team after one loss. Saturday night was one of the best heavyweight fights that I've seen since, you know, I want to say the late 90s. Maybe early 2000s with when was that Holyfield, the third Holyfield bow fight. I want to say that third Holyfield bow fight was mid to late 90s, maybe somewhere around 97, 95, one of those years. this Fury Wilder fight was just had everything. Third time they've met, Fury gets the knockout in the 11th round. And listen, you can say what you want about Deontay Wilder. He did a lot of crying and just a lot of, you know, did a lot of crying and made a lot of excuses after getting his ass kicked the second time by Fury. He came to fight tonight. I mean, he came to fight Saturday, left it all out there. Couldn't fight. You can't fight a better fight if you're Deontay Wilder. It's just the fact that it's just not a good matchup, period. Tyson Fury is just a far superior boxer. Tyson Fury is developing into an all-time great, great heavyweight. There's no two ways about it. Now again, I've heard this is where we just gotta calm down. I've heard the Ali comparisons, a couple Ali comparisons, and like this is where it's just come on, let's just relax, please. Fury is a great fighter. There's no two ways about it. But let's slow down with some of those comparisons that I've heard. But these are two behemoths. I mean, you're talking about 6'9", 270, 6'7", 240, 238, 240. And again, this fight was everything and then some out of a heavyweight fight. A lot of people are going to question the second knockdown in the fourth round by Wilder as far as the slow count. I'll say, you know, Fury got the champion's respect from that standpoint. It has to be without question a clear knockout if you want to beat the champion. That was not the case, but outside of that, Fury completely dominated this fight for the most part. He controlled this fight, especially after the sixth round on, it was his fight. It was his fight, and there was no two ways about it. Again, great fight. I almost wish I was, you know, at a bar watching it. You know, watched it at home. Because I can only imagine the excitement, you know, being in a live place watching that fight. Again, these guys went at it. There was no wasted motion. There was no, you know, trying to fill each other out. It was immediate from the jump. I give Deontay Wilder a lot of credit. He tried to make adjustments, but the bottom line is it's just not a good matchup. It's not. I mean, Fury is clearly a better boxer. The thing that keeps Wilder in these fights is he has one of the most powerful punches in the history of boxing with that right hand. That right hand is like a nuclear missile. I mean, he can end the fight with one punch. It's just that simple. But I don't want to see any more of Wilder or Fury. We've seen enough of that. We'll see what's next for both of those two. But you know, listen, they had the trilogy. You had one fight that went the distance. That was very good. The first one, you had an ass whooping the second time that went Fury's way. And you had the ultimate classic. Enough's enough from that standpoint. But they leave us with one of the great, you know, it'll be one of the great trilogies of this generation as far as the heavyweight division. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. Podcast will be up later on this evening. Enjoy the rest of your evening. I'll see you next time.